Megens met het NOS-journaal. De dividendbelasting is juridisch prima houdbaar en niet discriminerend voor buitenlandse beleggers. Dat zegt de advocaat-generaal van de Hoge Raad, waarmee een belangrijk argument voor het afschaffen van de dividendbelasting uit handen van het kabinet wordt geslagen. Volgens staatssecretaris Snel van Financiën lopen er 7000 rechtszaken van buitenlandse fondsen over verzoeken om teruggaven. In het ongunstigste geval zou Nederland 1,7 miljard euro moeten terugbetalen. Maar volgens de advocaat-generaal is dat dus niet waar. Greenpeace noemt het nieuwe klimaatrapport van de VN een allerlaatste waarschuwing en een kans om desastreuze opwarming van de aarde tegen te gaan. De milieuorganisatie vindt dat Nederland vol moet inzetten op andere energiebronnen, zoals waterstof en warmtepompen. Het klimaatpanel van de VN schrijft in het rapport dat de aarde niet 2, maar slechts 1,5 graad mag opwarmen. Dan zijn er 50% minder overstromingen, smelt er minder poolijs en verdwijnt niet al het koraalrif. 1 op de 3 Nederlanders weet niet waar het dichtstbijzijnde reanimatieapparaat hangt. En als ze het wel weten, dan kunnen ze er niet altijd bij, omdat de AED in een winkel of een kantoor hangt. In Zuid-Holland is de helft van de AED's 24 uur per dag beschikbaar. In Drenthe en Noord-Brabant is dat een kleine 80%, meldt de Hartstichting. Die wil dat dat meer wordt en roept mensen op zo'n AED samen met de buurt te kopen. De baas van de wereldwijde politieorganisatie Interpol, Meng Hongwei, wordt in China verdacht van omkoping. Dat heeft het ministerie van Openbare Veiligheid bekendgemaakt. Meng zou steekpenningen hebben betaald en ontvangen. Meer details werden niet gegeven. Gisteren werd bekend dat hij eind vorige maand bij aankomst in China is gearresteerd. Tot gisteren was hij spoorloos. Meng was ook lange tijd staatssecretaris in China en een kopstuk binnen de communistische partij. Inmiddels is hij afgetreden als directeur van Interpol. Het weer vandaag droog en zonnig, 15 tot 17 graden. Morgen nog wat meer zon, soms wat hoge sluierbewolking, en dan kan het 22 graden worden. De rest van de week verandert er weinig. Dit was het NOS Journaal.
Bent u 66 plus en wilt u graag nieuwe mensen leren kennen? Of wilt u meedoen aan leuke activiteiten, alleen of samen met anderen? Kom dan naar de seniorenmiddag op Oba Reigersbos. Elke donderdagmiddag van 2 tot 4 kunt u hier genieten van het samen zijn, interessante lezingen, uitstapjes, workshops en nog veel meer. Kom langs en doe ook mee. U vindt ons in de winkelstraat Reigersbos. Toegang is gratis. Oba, om bij te blijven.
Eén nacht alleen, één nacht alleen, met de stilte om me heen, één nacht alleen.
Weet je, sommige mensen zijn altijd alleen. Mensen van alle leeftijden. Bij Humanitas Amsterdam zijn ze hard op zoek naar 150 nieuwe vrijwilligers. Mensen die zich willen inzetten tegen eenzaamheid. Want met een paar uur per week maak jij het verschil. Word vrijwilliger bij Humanitas en meld je aan via eennachtalleen.nl. Humanitas. Samen tegen eenzaamheid.
Eén nacht alleen. Één nacht alleen.
We are issues of, you know, we are issues of the kingdom. They have been discussed. And then we are about to enter into our social segment. I have a surprise for you. Southeast, I have a surprise for you. Within 1 minute, I will open up your surprise, so get ready.
You love me too much, oh. Unconditional love you ever be, oh. L-I-L-I, my servant, you say it all for me, oh. Thank you for loving me too much, unconditional love.
Hey, ready.
Well, the music has changed.
About a thing.
You better get ready.
You are
for the parcel
me.
I have for you.
Where you lead me, Lord, I will go.
Remember, you can call
no
the studio line on 0207-1619. Coming to you on 103.8 Eton and 105.2 Kebel on your popular radio, Voice of Niger, the best radio program in the world. You know why? Because we are award winners. This is the social segment, the hour you've been waiting for. Thank you so much. Thank you. When he says say yes, nobody can say no. So at this hour, we are saying yes, yes, yes. The aim of this broadcast is twofold. First, to introduce to our grassroots migrant community, Miss Tanya Jananaseng, who is the new chair lady of the Amsterdam Southeast Bestie Committee. And secondly, it is to explore some of her ideas and positions on the characteristics issues affecting residents of our community, Southeast. So today, I have for you Her Excellency, Miss Tanya Jananaseng, our new first sector. Miss Jananaseng has a background as a PVDA politician. She also has a deep root as a professional in the national news media, the NOS, currently, she's serving our community. First of all, we shall seek to know her a little bit more by exploring her profile, interest, and passion. And when we shall proceed to talk about her job. She is not here alone. She is also accompanied by our own Mr. Eddie Adose, who is the departmental manager of Southeast. Ladies and gentlemen, the hour has come. Help me receive our own Bestie Committee leader, Miss Tanya Jananaseng. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Are you happy to be here?
Yes, I'm very happy to be here.
I can see that because it's shining all over your face. So proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
And I'm proud of you. As I'm seeing that you're doing everything yourself, even all the technique. And I like that because they say that woman and technical, you know, technology, it's not a combination. And then you prove otherwise that, you know, so ladies and technology, it can be done.
It can be done. Well, yeah. Well, it can be done. Thank you so much for being here with us. Right. And also help me, our fans, to receive our own Mr. Eddie Adose, who is the departmental manager of Southeast. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
It's always difficult to have you.
Yeah, but you've got me today.
I've got you.
And I accompanied her.
And I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Both of you are making my day. So,
but today we pay attention to it.
Yes, it's for her.
Yeah, Tanya,
it's
yeah,
for her. It's for her. Yes.
I'll come another time.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So please join us in this broadcast and feel free to call the studio line on 7371619. And remember, you can follow us online right now at razzoamsterdam.nl. You can follow us online on the Facebook, and then interact with us through the YouTube stream as well and tell us what you feel about Miss Tanya. Now, the question goes to you, ma'am.
Yes.
Tell our listeners about how deep your connection with our district Southeast goes. Where you are born, born here, raised here. Just we want to know a little bit about you.
Yes. Well, actually, I wasn't born in Southeast. I was born in Leiden, which is also in Holland. But then when I was 5 years old, we went back to Suriname. So I was raised in Suriname. And when I was 20, I came back to the Netherlands to study. I studied law at the Vrije Universiteit. And during that time, I became acquainted with Southeast. And, well, I fell in love with Southeast when I was 27. Then I became a mentor to a lot of students in Southeast, and I've never stopped. Now I'm 51. And still, I am a mentor of a lot of kids in Amsterdam Southeast because the youth and kids, they have my heart. So I know Southeast, and it was such a pleasure when they asked me to come and work here in Southeast because yes. I was like, yes, this is the place of Amsterdam I like the most because of the 170 nationalities which live in Amsterdam Southeast. And with all those people, all the cultures, all the diversity, it's really a privilege to serve this community.
Wow, awesome. Wow, it is so strong. So we have somebody who loves us and loves us to the bones.
Yes.
Wow, this is awesome.
Yes.
It's a plus, I believe, to us. But what is it about Southeast that keeps it on your mind and keeps you awake at night?
Well, there are a lot of things which are very good in Southeast.
Tell us.
People are very kind to each other most of the time. Not all the time, of course, but most of the time.
Yes.
And you see that people want to make something out of their lives. There is this urgency and motivation to work hard, to prepare themselves for a better future. But then again, there are some issues, like children who go to school without breakfast. Is one thing which really keeps me awake at night. Then I see other kids who go for internships and they don't get these internships because of discrimination. These are topics we should talk about. A long time we were afraid to talk about these topics, but they are there and we have to discuss them so we can solve them. But also we have a large amount of adults which are illiterate, which have we call this laaggeletterdheid. And this is a big issue in Amsterdam Southeast. So there are many issues. We have shootings going on.
Yes.
We have a youth who, they don't behave in a way which I like. So there are a lot of things we have to do. And I cannot do it alone. I need all the listeners. I need all the people of Amsterdam Southeast to help.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. So your passion is really very rooted and very deep.
Yeah.
Because you started from talking about the children that go to school without food.
Yes.
It can only take a good mother to notice, because there are some people who will still be in the same office where you are and they will be highly elevated.
No.
Yeah, but you are speaking with passion.
Yes.
So how did you get to know that?
Well, actually, I think this became my second nature because of my mother. Then I have to take you back to my childhood. I was raised in a really, really privileged, environment. My dad is a civil attorney at law, and my mom is a teacher.
Okay.
And so we had a lot of good things going on in our home.
Yeah.
And then when I was 12... I always went to private schools.
Okay.
And when I was in Suriname, and when I was 12, my mom said, it's time for you to get to know other people, to know that not all the people in Suriname have the good life you have.
Yes.
So she sent me to a public school. And at first I was crying. I was asking her, why do I have to go to this public school?
Yes.
I want to go to private schools because, my dad is rich, so I have to be in private schools. And then she said, no, you have to go to this public school. And I went there and I you know, I just got acquainted with all the kids. And I came back at my home and my mom asked, so how was your first day at school? And I said to her, it was okay, but I noticed that some of my colleagues at school, my kids, they didn't have any food with them. And then my mom said, okay, and what are you going to do?
Yes.
And I told her, Mom, I'm only 12 years old.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? What are you going to do? And then she told me, no. When you, if you are 12 or you are 24 or you are 80, you can always do something for another person.
Yes.
So we are privileged. Think about that and think what you can do. And I said, okay, Mom, we have a refrigerator full of food. What I can do is I can bring food from our home and give it to the kids. And then she said, no, wait. This is a good idea, but it's not the full idea.
Yes.
Because if you go at school and you give this to the kids, they will feel like beggars. You know, you give them the food. So you have to come up with a plan. And then I said, okay, Mom, I know what to do. So when I came back to school the next day, I told them, you know, my mom, she always makes so much food for me. Yes. Please, please share this food with me. So I learned two really important lessons from my mother. The first one is if you have a lot, you can share with other people.
Yes.
But also don't make other people feel like beggars that you help them. No, you share your knowledge, you share your bread, you share what you have with them, but not in a way that they feel like, oh, I'm a beggar. No, that they feel they are strong. And even though they don't have the food, they are strong people with strong minds.
Yes.
And this is my mom. So I think my passion comes from my upbringing by my mom and my dad.
Yes.
And well, I feel really blessed because they are, because of my dad, he worked really hard. He comes from a very poor family, but he worked really hard. And then he became rich, which is great. But he taught us that you don't, if you have money or you have knowledge, it's not only for yourself.
Wow.
You have to serve. You have to give it to others.
Wow. So the message you are passing through to all the people that are listening to us now is that we in Southeast must learn to share.
Yeah. Share your knowledge. Share your food. Share.
It will be so wonderful when people will share their knowledge, share their networks as well, share everything that they have. I think the world will be a bed of roses.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. So now tell us, what has been your greatest motivation for becoming a politician and a public servant?
Yes. Well, actually, this is also a big, when you said already that I worked in NOS news station.
Yes.
And when I was in the news station, I came across a lot of stories which gave me the idea that not everything is going well in Holland. So I talked to my colleagues and I told them, you know, I think there can be so much more done in Holland. And then they said, if you have this big mouth, why don't you go in politics and you try to get it done? So that's why I went to the PvdA. This is my party. And I asked them, can I help? Can I do something? And I applied for the Tweede Kamer. And well, I got in. So I got the great opportunity to serve the people through the Tweede Kamer because of my idea that if you want something changed, don't wait for other people to change it for you, but you go and you try to change it yourself.
Was it very easy for you to get into the Tweede Kamer as a woman?
Yeah.
As a woman?
Yeah, well, actually, I would lie if I would say yes, because, of course, when you come and you go... well, actually, the Labour Party, PvdA itself, they had a warm welcome.
Okay.
They said, okay, they saw my CV.
Yes.
You know, so they were like, okay, maybe she can really contribute something.
Yes.
But I have to tell you that when I was in the Tweede Kamer, I had a lot of people who had huge comments on me. Comments about my accent, because I speak with a Surinamese accent. I can speak really good Dutch.
Really?
But I speak with a Surinamese accent, and people had all these comments about my accent. They put on Twitter, like, why is this woman in Tweede Kamer? She cannot even speak good Dutch, blah, blah.
Oh, really?
And, I really can speak really, really good Dutch, but, well, with an accent. So, whatever. So these things came across, and you know, you always have the first impression of people is, she is a nice lady, so she laughs a lot, so is she intelligent, really? You know, and then I like to surprise them. You know, one of my role models is Oprah Winfrey. Right. And Oprah Winfrey said one time, she said, don't worry if they underestimate you.
Yes.
Because then you can surprise the hell out of them. So I like that. I like that. So I like to surprise people. Yeah.
My God. So by the time they engage you in discussion, they know that you have a very high level of IQ.
Yes, yes. Wow. Because, you know, I always, when I go in a meeting or where I go, I try to be really prepared. So people take you seriously, because this is the other side of the story. When you go in as a lady, you should always be prepared. Always be prepared. So people, the men in the room, the other women in the room, they cannot say she came on unprepared, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So you should be prepared.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let me just at least give the 1 minute to Mr. Adoze, who is here. Mr. Adoze, you have been working with so many of these first ladies of Southeast. What's your impression generally about women, working with women? Because you've been working on a high level and working with them. How do you assess women you've been working with?
In general...
Yes, I mean,
you know,
in correlation to your office.
Let me tell you something.
Tell us.
I don't have a father. I've never seen my father before.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Really?
So my mother brought me up.
Okay.
I don't have a brother. We are six, 5 women, and I'm the only male.
Lucky you.
Yes. Dad, you are used to women.
Yes. If you come to my office, all my staff, there's no male, only women. There's no man, there's no male in my team.
So you just...
Only women.
You love it that way?
Yes. Really?
Tell us a bit. I mean... Talk to us about women.
You know something?
Yes.
I've been telling people around me, as husbands.
Yeah.
If you want to be happy, make your wife to be happy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You can never be happy if your wife is not happy.
Exactly.
And I am very, very serious about it.
This is serious.
Give women attention, care.
Yes.
Transparency.
Yes.
Let them trust you.
Yes.
Work for them, with them, together with them. With transparency.
Yes.
Your heart.
Yes.
Your aim is, I'm going to work for her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you do that.
Yes.
Just with you.
You will be fulfilled.
Let me tell you something.
Tell us.
27th August 1990.
Yes.
My mother called me because she was the first, she was the only person who sent me to university. From primary school to university.
Yes.
So after graduation, I had to go there and thank her for all that she did for me.
Yes.
And what she told me was, you are my son. You can never pay me back for all that I've done for you. But there's one thing I need from you. One.
Yes.
Make sure you never let a woman to cry because of you. Never.
Awesome.
Two. Never let a woman, don't never see a woman suffering and you know you can help and you pass away.
Jesus.
Never. Mm-hmm. And if you can do these two things for me, I, your mother, will live for long.
Yes.
Because I know how it is when a woman faces difficulty.
Yes.
These two things my mother told me 27th August 1990, and I've never forgotten. And
wow.
I always choose women. I am there for women. That's me.
This is so powerful.
Yes.
So it's not by accident that you are here.
It's not by accident.
And it's not by accident that you've been working with all of these, you know, high-tech women. Who the Lord has been giving to us as our first sectors.
Yes.
Oh, God bless you.
God
prepared you from origin for that purpose.
What she thinks is what I want.
Yes.
And what she wants is what I do.
Yes. That's exactly how you'll be working with them.
Yes.
Because we don't see that masculine, that men chauvinism around you. Because if in some cases, you know, some people will show their chauvinism and they don't want to work with the women that God has brought.
Yeah.
But look at what you are saying.
Totally
you are saying that their choice is what you want to execute.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
This is
the
beautiful.
Woman first, me second.
This is
all the time. And it helps all the time. Any man who will do this, you always get a present.
Yes, it's true. Look, no wonder our first lady is smiling so much. Look at her face.
Yeah, this is really nice. You know, and actually this is also, I think, my own husband. His name is Prem Kumar.
Yeah.
And he is a really high-profile lawyer.
Yes.
But when he walks with me, he never goes around like, you know, I'm this lawyer, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm her husband.
Yes.
And he just serves whatever I need.
Yeah.
And it makes him look great too.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
I believe that those of you who are listening to us now, this is coming live on the waves of Radio Voice of Niger. Please take some tidbits from what Her Excellency is saying to us. Take some bits from what Mr. Edozie himself, our own person, have also told us here. There are so many men out there who are struggling, and then you are struggling because you've not allowed your women to play their active role in your life. For God's sake, they are called helpmate. They must fulfill a role in your life. So if you just dominate and you don't allow them to be who God wants them to be, then something will go wrong. Listen, I am very proud of who I am and what I'm doing because my husband gave me all the openness of hand. Yeah. My husband supports all my vision. As a matter of fact, my achievement is his achievement. So that's why I'm soaring very, very, very high. Yeah. So when I see women who do not have that support from their men, I pity them.
Yeah.
But I believe also attitude and character have a lot to play in all of this. So,
and also what you are doing with this radio program, sending out that message, because I think that we as women, we should support each other to support our men also. Because, you know, sometimes I hear young women say, I don't need this man, blah, 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 and they are sending the man away. Or when the man wants to help in doing raising the children or anything, they were like, no, I don't need him, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, you do need him.
Exactly.
We are both. We are both. My husband cannot raise children without me, and I cannot raise the children without him. So it's you know, it's a plus-plus.
Yes.
You have to be complementary to each other.
It is.
And this discussion should really be discussed at a high level, because really the young people, they think, you know, they think like, well, this man, I just need him to make the children and then go away.
No.
And I'm like, no, absolutely not. He has to stay. He has to stay. He has to raise the children with you.
Yes.
It's also, and you know, some men, there was a, I don't know how this group, maybe you know the group, but there was a group of men who came together in Southeast, and they were like, we are the dads, and we discuss our right to raise our children. And I was like, wonderful.
Yes.
Because when men are going to tell us that they do want to raise our children also, then we get this equal position.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is very, very good. Because for me, I'm really against too much of attention just promoting only single mothers, and then you don't do anything about the single fathers.
Yeah.
So why don't we look for a middle belt where both of them will come, and then they can know their responsibilities and know that the children need both of them.
They need both of them.
So,
and you know,
I don't endorse women sending the men away, and then you just send them away, and you don't want them to come and, you know, play a part in the life of their children.
They both should play.
First and foremost, you make those children very miserable. Secondly, you dishonor yourself because the child will be wondering, I think it's two people that made me. How come it's only you now? You know?
Yeah.
And then thirdly, you break chaos to the society. We raise children who are vandals. We raise children who are very, very sentimental. We raise children who are emotionally handicapped, and so they cannot handle themselves when they come up with other people, you know? So if we see the damages and the economic damage it is causing to our society, we will better promote, you know, promote both male and female, father and mother, coming together and finding a complete solution for their for their household.
And even, you know, even though, even if the man and the woman, they cannot live with each other anymore, then I think you should really try to have a understanding, so the children should not be affected by the quarrels between the parents, because children, you know, they are so precious.
Yes.
And if we don't treat them like our diamonds, they will become really miserable. And there are scientific surveys about this, and they say that if children are, there's no male around them, then that will also be difficult for them. So if it's possible, of course, if it's not really possible, then, well, who am I to say you should make it possible? But I really think that you should try anyway.
Yes.
Try anyway to get an understanding. Maybe if you cannot talk to the man anymore because he made you really angry, try to get family to talk to him.
Yeah,
or,
uncles.
You know, do something.
Yes.
Because I do understand that sometimes in a relationship, two people are really angry at each other. So, but please think about your children first.
Exactly.
Think, because you well, God gives you these kids. So, you know, just go. This is precious.
Wow, awesome. Do you have something to say, sir? to add up to what we've been saying. Just one second.
Let's spend the time on Tanya now.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes. Now, our next question, Ms. Tanya. Let me forget about your role models, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to say something about that?
Well, actually,
your finest role model?
Yeah.
So far in your life
Yes.
You told me Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey?
Yes.
My mom and dad, obviously. My husband, without a doubt, because he is such a beautiful person. And I do have Michelle Obama.
Okay.
So really all strong women. And then I have Malala. You know Malala, of course. She's the young woman who had been shot in the head by terrorists. And then she went to England and she got an operation and she survived.
Yeah.
And
now
she won the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
And she is such a great advocate for education.
Okay.
She says that, you know, don't give people weapons, give people pens so they can write.
Exactly.
And I like that image she's, you know, presenting us.
Yes.
That through, and I do believe that through education, there's so much possible.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't have to be that I would love it if more children of Amsterdam Southeast should go to the HAVO or should go to the VBO. But then again, I really want all the children to have a good education. It can be vocational education, it can be university, but they should have earn a diploma.
It's very important.
Very important. Very important. Then they have something to show for.
Yes.
It's also good for your own, you know, your self-esteem,
your image,
self-esteem.
Yes.
But also it is very good for you, so you can let Holland see that the children of Southeast, they are part of Amsterdam, they are part of Holland.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we have every opportunity to be able to aim to the highest level.
Yes, yes.
So if you're a mother, you're a father out there, please encourage your children. Encourage them in their educational level.
Yeah.
And do not give in to all of these excuses. We call them smooshes. They are not important.
Maybe so, can I add one thing? Because
yes,
I loved a woman I met in Alakondre, in a buurthuis, Alakondre, community service.
Yeah.
And this lady, an African lady, and she cannot speak any Dutch.
Okay.
And then at first I was like, why don't you speak Dutch? And how do you raise your children? And then she came up with this wonderful, wonderful contribution. She said to me, listen, you know, I cannot speak Dutch really good, but I do love my children. And I went to school and I asked the teacher, how can I help my children? Even though I don't speak Dutch, how can I help my children? And then the teacher told her, well, you cannot speak Dutch, but you can watch your clock, right? You know, you can tell time. She said yes.
Yeah.
Then the teacher said, you should keep the time. What she meant was, you go to the library, you bring your children books, or you let them go and take books. You come at home, you let them read. You keep time. Make them read for 1 hour a day. Make them do their homework for 1 hour a day.
Yes.
So you just keep time. And she said, the only thing I did was I kept the time for my children. I said, okay, you read 1 hour, you do your math homework 1 hour, you watch Jeugdjournaal, the news 1 hour, you think about things. And so she just kept the time. And nowadays, one of her daughters is a doctor at the VU,
awesome.
VU Ziekenhuis. Yeah. So
really?
This is, yes. So this is such a beautiful, this is what
it's
you are saying.
Testimony.
Yeah. But it's what you said. You said that don't come up with smooshes.
Yes.
Don't come up with smooshes.
Yes.
I cannot speak Dutch, so I cannot help my kids. No, she couldn't. She cannot speak Dutch at all.
But she monitored.
She monitored the time.
Awesome. This is a very powerful testimony.
I think so. I love this conversation.
Such a woman is a role model.
She's a role model.
So many.
That's what I'm saying. She's a role model. She's, you know, and you know what's so beautiful is that in Amsterdam Southeast, if you know, I go with Mr. Adusse, but also I go with the other two people who are in the board, Dirk and also Jacob.
Yeah.
We go by bike, and we just ride the bike in the whole of Southeast. We just stop and we talk to people. We go into this community service. We go everywhere where people are. And we hear these stories, but we hear the stories of our citizens, of the citizens of Southeast.
Yes.
And there are so much really beautiful stories about how people are going through their lives. So I really believe that we as Stadsdeel, we can do a lot. But I think that the real strength of this community is not at the Stadsdeel, The real strength of the community is within the people themselves.
Yes.
So I just see myself as an ambassador for the great stories we already have in Southeast. And there, where there the story is not so great yet, we can help. Of course, we can help. But I do hope that we can help so people can become stronger. Yes. So they won't be, you know, saying, oh, I need Miss Chetnanand Singh. No. My idea is that in 4 years, people become so strong, they don't need me at all. This would be my highest aim, that people are so strong, they don't need too much help.
Yes.
Because they've learned how to help themselves.
Exactly. And that is a very good point.
Yeah. Education is key.
Education is the key. So, but, you know, let me not go to adult education because I would have liked to know something. But let me go to your next listener. So, on your job, there are 14 areas in the portfolio under your oversight.
Yes.
We'd like to focus on three. Youth, adult education, and poverty reduction.
Very important.
So, what is the most important piece of practically helpful information you would like Southeasterners to know about?
Yes. Well, actually, I would love them to know about all topics, of course, all the 14 areas, but then we have little time. So I will focus on some tips I want to give. That is that when it's about adult education, I think about adult education, I want to say to people that it is really important to, you know the language. Why? Because it opens opportunities. It opens so much opportunities. And if you say, well, I don't know how to come about, I don't know how, you know, to approach that adult education, please come to the Stadsdeel. Come to the Stadsdeel and ask for Taalwijzer.
Taalwijzer.
So you come to the Stadsdeel and you ask for Taalwijzer, because Taalwijzer, it really helps you, you know, to give you the path through getting that knowledge about language.
The fact is that so many people have been involved in this TALES.
Yeah.
And on Friday, I was in a seminar with this professor who was showcasing the development of the brain. And the formation of the brain, you know, from 0 to 2 years, and how the environment plays a vital part.
Yeah.
So. But we also learned something that when people are adults, it's very difficult now for them to learn new things, especially new languages.
Yeah, yeah.
So every one of us there, we were so curious. How come
that
we cannot learn new languages?
Yeah.
So now I found out that could be the reason why your TALES project is not really making much impact in the life of the adults.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know so many women who have been sent there, they go there and then they are learning, but I don't see them reproducing.
Yeah, yes. So this is,
do we have an alternative? That's what I want to say.
This is a really great question you are asking, because, you know, actually, we as a government, as Stadsdeel, say, well, you should learn the language.
Yeah.
And then again, you say, yeah, well, this is wonderful, but the brain of a 2-year-old is another than a brain of a 50-year-old.
Exactly.
And, well, actually, I do understand, because I tried to learn Hindi. And I went to these conversation lessons.
Yeah.
And after 10 lessons, my teacher said, I thought you were really intelligent, but I couldn't make anything out of it. So that's why I like talking to people and listening, because, you know, I could say, yeah, well, then they have to learn it. But no, if we come across these scientific results, which say that a 50-year-old brain cannot learn Dutch in a way a 2-year-old or 3-year-old can, then we should go about and take notice of that.
Okay.
And maybe we should look at what we offer people and if that connects with the way the people are learning at this age.
Yes.
So I do find this point you are making really interesting.
Okay.
And I will write it down, and I will discuss this, because this is a really good point you're making.
Because, you know, I don't see the reason why people have to become handicapped just because they cannot fluently speak Dutch.
Yeah.
Do you understand me?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have lots of migrants who want to do, who want to really mount up wings and soar to the highest. But the limitation has been what we are discussing. So instead of us going round and round discussing this limitation, why don't we go for another uplossing, another solution? Because now these brain researchers, they were there, and the people that filled the hall on Friday, they were almost 100 women.
Yes.
Do you understand? These were people who were of the age of 49,
yes.
50, 60. And then they are hearing, and these were migrant women.
Yes.
And then they were hearing that their brain has become...
Yeah, but you know, I love this that you're bringing up this topic of the brains. We should discuss another time more and more deep, because I did a study on brains. Why? Because I was trying to understand young people in the age of 12 to 16. And you know, they get... mad, and they are in like puberty. They call this puberty. This is the time of the pubers.
Yes.
And they act in strange ways. And then I learned from a professor that actually it's something biological in their heads.
Okay.
Which is not helping them really.
Yeah.
They have something in the brain which is going a totally different way than they want it to go.
Yes.
So the brain, it's a wonderful subject to, you know, to discuss. But then again, what you are saying, I like that you are saying that, well, if this is the case, then we should come up with a solution. Because I believe that if there is a problem, we should discuss it.
Yeah.
But we just should discuss it in a way that we say, okay, so what should be the solution?
Exactly.
Not, you know, turning around and around again and again and again. Because
yes.
if we are talking about problems, if we have talked about them for the last 10 years and there is no solution, then maybe we should talk about this problem in another way.
Exactly.
So I really like this because, you know, we say you have to learn Dutch. And then you say, yes, well, that's wonderful. But when you're 50, your brain operates in another way.
Yes.
So we should look into that. And actually, I have an appointment at the Stadhuis this evening at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And I will bring this in.
Please do.
I will do this. In a meeting, I will tell them I was at this radio program. And then the lady said
please do,
chatted.
Do, because I intend to bring the professor to my radio show. And he has already agreed that he will come on my show, either the television or the radio. So I really intend to discuss much with other women with him.
Now, I like the point.
Let's go to the improving academic performances and future prospects of our youths.
Yes.
What do you have in your portfolio?
Yes, I have this in my portfolio, and I'm what I said already. I am really, really looking for solutions for our children, because you know, little things like I just spoke to a young man who told me that he cannot go to this trip, school trip, because he doesn't. His parents don't have the money.
Okay.
And then I thought to myself, this should not be happening. Because, you know, if you are not involved in school activities, you're an outsider. And especially in Holland, it's really important to know how to interact with people. They call this social skills.
Mm-hmm.
And even more than academic skills in Holland, social skills are getting more and more important. So I think that bringing in role models to teach the children social skills, but also learning the children that they should be going into the world, they should be seeing things, you know, broaden their horizons is really important for us. If it's about academic skills, we have this, this is not a really nice thing to say, but in Southeast, our data are not really good.
Wow.
You know, we have our kids of half of VWO, they go to half of VWO, are the least of the whole of Amsterdam.
Oh.
So this is
the average of Amsterdam is 52%.
Yeah.
We go to half of VWO, but Southeast is 33%.
Yeah.
33%. It is too small.
It
is very low. Very low.
Yeah, very low. So this this is one of our top priorities to raise it. And you ask, what is the reason?
Yes.
And sometimes the reason is, well, the kids cannot go even further, but that is a little part of the story. There's also this story, and we are looking into that our kids are, they are not recognized.
Yes.
They are not recognized in a whole package. You know, they are like, people are like, okay, so you're from Southeast, so, and they come, blah, blah, blah. So you should, you cannot be this half of a old person. Yeah. You cannot.
Yeah. So we... Less expectation.
Yes.
Yes.
It's really a low expectation of our kids.
Yeah, but that is very wrong.
Yes.
So the perception has to change.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that starts with us as a community.
Yes.
So because, you know, this is not a story of today. It's not a story of yesterday. So we have to do it. We have to change the story. I have to do it. We all have to do. Parents. We have to. Also, the parents have to. We have to be more active in discussing these issues. So, you know, what it is when a teacher. I know from my. I have a Surinamese Indian background. And I know that when a teacher of school says, well, your child is this or this, people tend to believe.
Yes, but we believe because
we are like, this
but
is
now,
the
we
teacher.
Have to question it.
But we have to we have to be partners with the teachers. Don't go and curse them. Not at all. But we have to be partners with them. We have to have these discussions as parents with the teachers, but also we have to have this discussion as a community. Like the lady who went into the school and asked the teacher, what can I do? I love this example, because this is the way how we can help our children to achieve more. We also have lots of projects on huiswerkbegeleiding, and I think those things help also. So,
Hello. Hold on. Because we are rushing, have not given my callers the opportunity. 2 minutes more. Right, yes, please go on and ask your question, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, we're here. Happy birthday to my wife and all the best for today and the days ahead. And also a big welcome to Miss Tanya and Mr. Ebise.
Thank you.
The issue you're talking about is very important. The adult education part, I love that very much. I think it would be nice to consider, besides the issue of the brain, to find out how to work along with some of the key figures in our community to help with the language thing. It may be a slow process, but it can be done. And I think we should look into that, open up to that possibility, instead of using the templates that you have made up, you know, just to follow the templates to give these courses. So please look into a bit of a balanced way of taking care of this matter.
Yeah.
And I think that if we can find a way to motivate people more, especially working with the community leaders and key figures, things can change, you know?
Yes.
And also look for some reward system or motivational systems to add up with it. It can go better, I think.
Very good. Yeah. So what was your name?
Reverend Larry.
Okay, thank you so much for this really good tip you gave us, because I do think that we do need the help of the key figures. And actually, we in the Stadsdeel, we now have a special person who is dedicated to getting all the key figures in order, so we can invite people and talk about these issues, because they are really important. I really like your contribution. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Well, call us, because of the time, we will not give you so much. We thank you. If you have more, listen, I think we will need to bring you again, because we see ourselves just rushing, and there's a lot to
I will just come again.
We'll open the line for our callers, you see. But this one forced himself from his consultancy. He still had to force himself to just call him. So we are going to round up now because of your time.
Yes, I'm
but
so
before
sorry.
Before you go, what do you want to tell the community you are leading? Tell your people.
Yes. Well, actually, I do. I want to thank them for listening today to me and to Mr. Edusei, of course.
Yes.
And if there's something you need, something we can do, just come to the Stadsdeel as for the Taalwijzer, for instance.
Yes.
But even though if you think, I want to talk to people, we have this meetings at Thursday. This is called the Stadsdeel Commissie Vergadering. And there's also always a part especially designed for bewoners, so they can come and tell us about what is going on and how we can help. So do make, these are things we really organize, especially for the people in our community, especially for our citizens. So Get involved. That is what I want to ask. Get involved. Don't just look at the Stadsdeel, what they can do for you.
Yes.
But also ask yourself, what can you do for the Stadsdeel?
Exactly.
So that it will be both sides up. So I really do believe that we are going to be the best Stadsdeel in the whole of Amsterdam if we work together.
Yeah. Awesome. Yes. We are proud of that.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what we want to be. And our achievements have to
yes.
be more.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So,
and it's possible.
It is very possible.
Yeah.
Having a dynamic prosecutor
yes.
like you, we are so proud.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Tanya, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edose. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It has been a privilege. Well, that has been a very short interview, very, very, very brief, with the First Lady of Amsterdam Southeast. So, feel free and give us some of your comments. Go to our WhatsApp us, text us, and then tell us what more you need to know. But all that she is asking is your support. And together with her, we can all make it. God richly bless you while you continue to listen.
has been it today, and I believe that you have enjoyed it with our first lady and Mr. Adose. I believe you have enjoyed the broadcast. You can stay calling, and we are trusting God for a more fruitful days ahead to have her discuss all that is in her heart for Southeast. It's been a very wonderful day, and keep listening to Radio Voice of Niger.